Wonderful job in that, and you picked a wonderful song to sing. One that is a personal message from our hearts. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 35. Through the remainder of the chapter. The scripture says, and the same day, and we'll find out in a little while about that same day, when the evening was come, he, Jesus, saith unto them, his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. That's the Sea of Galilee that he's talking about. We'll find that he's on the shore of the Sea of Galilee when he makes this statement. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. I heard a message preached one time about the other little ships. A wonderful message, a long time ago. But it's like this. When you're out on life's sea, you're not alone. There are lots of little ships out there with you. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. Now, today, in nautical terms, we would call that the stern. When I got into the Navy, I had to learn a different language. You're on a ship, the front of it is called the bow, the rear of it is called the stern. The right side of it, see how much of this I know, some of you old sailors here remind me. The right side of it was called starboard, and the left side was called?
Port.
What?
Port.
Port side. Port, see there? Momentarily, I had a lapse of memory. And our ship had a head, but it didn't have no tail. You'll get that in a minute. A head was the restrooms.
Had a couple of them on our ship.
Two heads. The floor was called the deck. The walls were called bulkheads. The ceiling was called what? Overhead? Yeah. And the doors were called hatches. And
had a bilge.
What was that?
That was down in the water.
Oh, that was down in the bottom of it. Yeah, okay.
That was below deck.
Anyway, Jesus went to the back of the boat. Yeah. And he was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, now mind you, the storm is fierce. The boat is filling up with water. The wind is blowing. And Jesus is still asleep, and they are scared. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I had the privilege of going on a trip to Israel back in 1994. Artie has been there, Sam has been there, anybody else here? And I'm sure that these two can relate to this. But I was there from January, my tour was from January the 21st to February the 4th. And that's not really a good time of year to go to Israel weather-wise, because it's kind of winter time there. They don't have a big hard winter with snow and sleet and such as that, but it was cold and rainy season, cloudy and overcast, not very pleasant. But it was on a Saturday morning, that would have been January the 29th. And Saturday in Israel is the Sabbath day, you know. That's when things closed down. But it was on a Saturday morning that I had the privilege of going aboard a boat and taking a trip on the Sea of Galilee. That was a part of our tour package. We got aboard the boat at Tiberias. You can look on your map and find where Tiberias is, there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And we sailed several miles up the western coastline of the sea to a place called Tabgha, T-A-B-G-H-A. Now that's an interesting place. You read about it in the Bible. That's the place where after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to seven of his disciples. Peter had said, I'm going fishing. And six of the other apostles says, we'll go with you. So the seven of them got in the boat and they went out. Now before they started following Christ, 3 years before this, they'd been commercial fishermen. They did that for a living. Some of them. So they went out and they fished all night long. They'd cast their net out there and pull it in, and the net would be empty. They fished all night and caught no fishes. They were 100 yards or so off the coast, and suddenly a voice called them from the shore. Children, have you any meat? That is, being American, have you caught any fish? And Peter answered and said, no, we've fished all night and we haven't caught any fish. The voice from the shore said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. They obeyed the Lord, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and they caught a net full of fishes. The little kids in Sunday school used to sing about that, didn't they? Do you remember that song? Fished all night and caught no fishes. Well, Peter said, it's the Lord. He jumped over the side of the boat and swam to shore and left the rest of those guys out there to bring the net and the fish in. And when it came in, they counted the fish that they caught. How many of you remember how many fish they caught? Huh? One, two, three. Joyce knows. How many? Tell us, Joyce. You missed it by one. That's close. 153. I don't know if this has anything to do with it or not, but somebody said there are 153 different varieties of fish. I haven't checked into that, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But they had 153 fish. And when they got to shore, they found that Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. And they sat down and they ate fish and bread for breakfast with Jesus. Now, that's the place where we got off of our boat from our trip from Tiberias up to Tagba. In the group that I was with, there were several preachers, pastors, and this is interesting, because when you get a group of preachers together off in a place like that, I have an idea, Brother Brian, it's kind of like getting them out here on the golf course. They kind of let their hair down, or, you know, they act like regular people. It's completely different from going to a fellowship meeting in a church where they get up before each other and preach their favorite sugar stick sermon, it's called, and they talk about how many people they had in the church last Sunday and how big an offering they had and how their building program is going, and all of these things like that. You know, they're bragging about all of this stuff. But when you get them, their tied white shirt off of them, and get them in a t-shirt and blue jeans and sneakers, they're a completely different type of people. And they're usually a fun bunch of guys to be around. It's nice to see them over there relaxing and allowing the Word of God to refresh them as they experience the places where the events of the Bible that they preach about actually took place. Wonderful. It's a time of personal renewal, and it helps to make us better preachers and teachers of the Word of God. Well, anyway, it's about 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. We took our Sea of Galilee boat ride. It was not really a nice day to be out on the water, because the night before it had rained and the wind was up. The water was pretty choppy. We even had white caps out there on the Sea of Galilee, if you can imagine. Now, the Sea of Galilee is a pear-shaped body of water, big at the top and little at the bottom. The Jordan River runs into it at the top, runs all the way through it and out of it at the bottom. It's 13 miles long and 6 miles wide at its widest point, and the Jordan River runs out of it at the south end of it, and then runs 65 miles down the valley to the Dead Sea. The waters of the Jordan River empty into the Dead Sea, and that's the end of it right there. The Dead Sea is 45 miles long, and it's about 11 miles wide. And the Dead Sea is the deepest hole on the face of the earth. It is way down there, below sea level. And all the water that runs into it from the Jordan River evaporates out. But we're talking about the Sea of Galilee. Now on this boat trip, the day was not real nice. We sort of huddled together and talked about the miracles of Jesus that were connected with the Sea of Galilee. For instance, Jesus walked on the water. It's interesting because in the eye of your imagination, you can stand there and look out across the water and you can just see Jesus walking on that water. And the events of Mark chapter 4 took place there, and that came up. We find here that Jesus' trip here that he's taking began at Capernaum. You read more about it, not only in this chapter of Mark, but you can go to the 8th chapter of Matthew, and it tells you a lot more about it. Now, that particular day, Jesus had started off the day by healing a Roman centurion's servant who was sick with the palsy. He was grievously tormented, the Bible says, with the palsy. So this Roman centurion, a Gentile, comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to heal his servant. Now his servant was not there. Jesus is going to do some long-range healing here. And he said, "Be it unto thee according to thy faith." And the man's servant was healed the same time, same day. Jesus never even went down there. And after that, he went into Simon Peter's house. And Simon Peter's mother-in-law, who lived with him and his wife, was sick. She was sick of a fever. And Jesus healed her of her fever. And then the word got out that Jesus was in town. And all of the sick folks began to come. And the people, their loved ones, were bringing them over there to Jesus. And the people who were possessed with demons and devils came, and Jesus cast them out, and he healed all that came to him. It was a busy day. And then there were multitudes of people that came that day that wanted to be taught. And Jesus gathered them together out here in a wad on the seashore, and he taught them. And everybody is trying to get close to him. They're about to push him into the water, so there are a couple of ships out here, and he said, "Hey boys, bring the boat on up here." And they came up there, and Jesus got in the boat, and they pulled out a little ways from shore, and he sat there in the boat and taught the multitudes that were out here on the shore. Now that's the multitudes that we just read about here in the words of our text, that the disciples sent home after Jesus had taught them. And then he taught his disciples the parable of the sower. That was told them about the fellow that went out and sowed some seeds, and some fell on good soil, some fell on bad soil, and some fell among thorns, and all of this. You remember the story. So he was teaching them. And so this turned out to be one of the busiest days that he had in a long time. I'm laying a foundation here, and you'll understand why I'm telling you all this in just a few minutes. But Jesus had spent that whole day, from early until late, ministering to both the physical and the spiritual needs of the people, doing what he had come into the world to do. And here we see two sides of Jesus. This is a point that I want to make tonight. We see the human side of Jesus, and we see the divine side of Jesus here in this story in Mark 4. Jesus told his disciples, after they'd sent the multitude away, he said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." So now the multitude has gone, and these guys are in the boat, and they started rowing. Jesus went to the back of the boat and lay down on a cushion. The Bible says that it was a pillow, it was a cushion. And he lay down there and went to sleep. He was physically exhausted. He was tired. He'd had a very trying day. Just like you and I would be tired if we had a full day of activity like he had. And I can just imagine he's back there in the gentle rocking of the boat. Soon put him into a deep, restful, peaceful, sound sleep. But while Jesus is sleeping and getting his rest, the devil was busy. He's the prince and power of the air, you know. And the devil said, "I'm going to get you." And the devil sent out a strong wind. And that wind stirred up the sea. And these disciples, I don't know what happened to the little ships that were with them, but they were having trouble with this. Now, most of you have never been on a storm at sea. And I hope that you never do. I wasn't in a storm, but I was in a typhoon, and I think sometimes a typhoon is worse than a storm. 1945 it was. We were off Mindanao, off down in that neck of the woods, and that's the deepest part of the ocean down there. Do you know that? My nice 7 miles deep. And we had a typhoon come through there. And it was over Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you, it was rough. We had to eat cold sandwiches for Thanksgiving because the cooks couldn't keep a pot on the stove. It would slide off. And the deck was awash. You couldn't go from the bow to the stern. I'll use my Navy lingo again. On top, up here, you had to go down and go through the boat and come up at the other end of it if you wanted to go anywhere. It was a terrible storm. And the devil brought this on. He said, "I'll catch Jesus asleep and I'll drown him," because he didn't like Jesus. Now, Mark writes in verse 37, we read it, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." The ship was full of water, taking on water. You get it too full, it's going to sink it. It's going to go down. Where's Jesus? He's asleep on his pillow in the stern of the ship. The disciples were afraid. Even though some of them were seafaring men who had made their living fishing on that very body of water. Surely they had seen storms before, but apparently nothing as severe as this one was. Their ship was full of water. It was being tossed by the wind. They went back and they woke Jesus up. "Master, Carest thou not that we perish? Of course he did. He didn't want them to die. Now watch and see what Jesus did. We've seen the physical side of him. Now let's look at the spiritual side of him. What did he do? The Bible says he arose. Secondly, he rebuked the wind. The wind, being rebuked, ceased. It stopped blowing. He said to the sea that was raging, "Peace, be still." And what happened next? Read it. There was a great calm. Now, this is interesting. I did a little study on this and found that the verb tenses that are used here imply that both these actions, the ceasing of the wind and the ceasing of the waves, happened instantaneously, immediately. With these words of divine power, they stopped. Now, the wind did not just gradually quit blowing, you know, so severely, just get down to a gentle breeze. It stopped immediately. And the waves of the sea, they lay down peaceably at the feet of Jesus immediately. They didn't get just progressively smaller and smaller until it became calm. But immediately there was a great calm. That's what shook those disciples up so much. And they just couldn't believe their eyes. They were in the presence of deity. Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God who made the heavens. He made the earth. He made the seas, and as their creator, he has the power to control all that he has made. Keep that in mind. God didn't make anything bigger than he is. He didn't make anything that has more power than he has. They were witnesses. So we learn these two lessons. First of all, we see Jesus as he becomes so physically exhausted and tired that he could sleep through this terrible storm. We are reminded of his humanity. He is indeed the Son of Man, as he called himself. So he understands from experience the pressures and the problems that we face as human beings. There is nothing that happens to us in our lives, no circumstances, but what he is not acquainted with physically. He has experienced what we experience. Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 17 and 18 tells us there that in all things he was made like unto his brethren. He was tempted and he was tried as we are, so that he, as our merciful and faithful high priest at the right hand of the Father, can support and strengthen us in the times of our need, in the times of our weaknesses. Remember that about Jesus. But also, from his response to the storm, we see his deity. We see him as the Son of God, who has control over all things. He has the power to change circumstances and to calm our storms. There's never a storm that comes into our lives but what he has not personally experienced as the Son of Man and has complete control over as the Son of God. And he can speak peace to the troubled heart. I don't know of anyone else that can. But we can take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. We have a Savior who loves us and cares for us. And he has the power to make things right in our lives. He'll stand beside us and say to us in the storms, "Peace, be still." Just like the disciples. All we have to do is call on him for help and then sit back and watch what he does. We know that he can save. We've entrusted the care of our mortal souls into his care. We know that he can heal. He can heal broken hearts. He can wipe away tears of sorrow. He can strengthen us when we're weak. It's great that we have a Savior like that. So Jesus is both human and divine. He's the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for coming tonight. Appreciate your presence. Brother Sam, it's good to have you with us tonight in our service. Will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
With us.